Amen. Yeah. Deep breath. Great. Let's open our Bibles in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Now, words makes a big girl. I'm going to just recap a little bit on our last lesson. A big girl is someone that takes responsibility, that takes ownership of a life. It's someone that has the attitude of, I am accountable for my life. And all aspects of my life is mine and mine alone to take responsibility for. No one can live my life for me. That's how a big girl thinks. Big girls see life as something that has been entrusted to them. And they alone are responsible for what they do with it. A big girl takes ownership of her feelings. Listen closely. Her feelings, her attitudes, her behavior, her choices, her limitations, her weaknesses, her talents and her thoughts, her desires. It is hers to own and be responsible for. A little girl remains a victim. She feels she has no choice in life. She remains helpless. She's always looking for somebody to take care of her and to take care of her responsibilities. It's easy for her to feel sorry for herself, to complain and to whine and to have those pity parties. She always has an excuse and someone to blame. Her joy and happiness is dependent on external circumstances. She's not able to see how she thinks and approaches difficult situations is what determines her joy and happiness and peace. And so that's a challenge, hey? It's a challenge to look at that and look at ourselves. You know, children will often say, she made me do it. I'm sure you've heard this if you've been with kids. A big girl's response is, I made me do it. I am responsible. I'm owning this. And only when we take responsibility is there hope to develop self-control and to grow and to change. So let's look in 1 Corinthians 13. This is sort of the theme scripture for this lesson that I kept on going back to. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 11. It says, when I was a child, I talked like a child, I thought like a child, and I reasoned like a child. When I became a woman, I put childish ways behind me. Now, these verses appear in the context of spiritual gifts, but I still think it's very relevant to life, because it's true, isn't it?
Yeah.
We've got to grow up. We all need to grow up and put childish ways behind us. We need to move on from how we thought as children and reasoned as children and spoke as children. And so these are three very key areas for us as women to know whether we are big girls or little girls. Is the way we think, is the way we speak, and the way we reason. Because mature thinking leads to mature living, right? Childish thinking leads to childish living. And so how we reason, think, and speak says a lot about us. Now let's look at a couple of ways of how children think. Children think it's all about me. They only see what's immediate. They don't think how their actions will affect others. They are unable to see more than one side of a situation. Children think fairy tales exist. Good guys always win, bad guys always lose, and everyone lives happily after. They tire easily, and they allow their fatigue to affect and control their general attitude and demeanor. They don't know what's best for them. They actually fight what's best for them. If it's cold outside, they want to wear summer clothes. If they're tired, they don't want to sleep. And when they're sick, they don't want to take the medicine. And they want to eat sweets all day long. That's children. They take things very personal, and they don't understand that someone can only hurt them emotionally if they allow them to. Now, children want to be in control. They not only want to be in control, they think they are in control. And they approach life with that mindset. They want what they want when they want it. And they protest when they don't get it. Now, only babies are entitled to immediate attention and care. When kids grow, they need to be taught that and trained that there's more to life than them. There's others that have needs, the family has needs, there's other needs in the society, and they have to grow out of that mindset of, I am entitled. And I want to bring this up because it's so important for us to grow out of that mindset.
Yeah.
It says, leave childish ways behind us. You know, kids, the stages they go through, they get to a point where they feel entitled not to suffer, not to work, or to abide by any rules. If you've been in Kids Kingdom and worked with kids, or you have your own kids, you know that. They don't want to suffer. They don't want to clean their rooms. They don't want any rules. Later on, they feel entitled to have what others have. If you don't experience it with kids, I'm sure you can think back of yourself. That we constantly hear kids say, but Susie has one. Why can't I have one? If somebody else has one, I should have one too. I am entitled, right? That's how kids think. And so they go through life with this mindset, and they try and enforce it on others. They think they are entitled. Now, for us as adults, if we don't grow out of this mindset, we end up being unhappy, immature, lonely little girls. That's where we end up. Because if we have this mindset, it's easy to be critical of people that have power, talents, or things that we think we're entitled to.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And it's easy to envy people that we think is in a higher class than we are, or to feel entitled, to continually feel entitled to special treatment or things that other people have or respect or love or whatever else it is that we want. We feel entitled. And if we don't get what we want, the person that's not giving it to us is wrong or to blame for our unhappiness. And so then it leads us as victims, little girls that want to complain and whine.
Yeah.
And so that's a mindset, a way of thinking that we need to grow out of as adults, as big girls. Because it leads us with the questions of, how can I be treated this way? Ever felt that way?
Yeah.
How can this happen to me? It's like we are above it, we're entitled to better. How can God allow this? How can He treat me this way? And so that mindset, that thinking, leads to immature behavior. And so if we think we're entitled, we have unrealistic expectations of people and of God, and we'll always have this demanding attitude of how it should be.
Yeah.
Does that make sense? In marriage, we'll criticize our spouses because he's never doing enough or not giving in to the things that I need. That's a sense of I'm entitled to. And the truth is, in time, people will just tire of that attitude because no one wants to be around someone like that. And so little girls think they are the center of the universe. There are no other needs, agendas, or emotions except their own. And so we all need to learn. There is a God, but we are not Him. We are not God. And we've got to look towards God and, you know, I must do explain this. Now, I hope I can really make this clear. We've got to look up to God to transcend our own existence. To go beyond our own existence and our own experiences. Because God is so much bigger than what we are. And so we've got to be able to do that. Big girls realize they're not here to serve themselves, but God. And so they order their lives around Him and His values. That allows us to transcend life, our own problems, our own limitations, our own weaknesses, even other people's sin against us. Because we're not living for ourselves, we're living for someone and something bigger than ourselves. Because that's what it's about. So our lives and what happens to us isn't that important anymore. There's more important things to live for. And so we've got to put childish thinking behind us. Again, childish thinking leads to childish living. And this is very important. I know we've often spoken about the mind, but I mean, studying this out, I was so convicted about it again, that our actions are a direct result of how we think. If we have a negative mind, we have a negative life. I mean, think about that. If we have wrong thinking, it leads to wrong behavior and wrong expectations. We cannot have a positive life and a negative mind. We can't. And yet, that's not what we want to do. You can't live as a big girl but have a little girl's mind set. The two just doesn't go together. And so if we want to straighten out our lives, we've got to straighten out the way we think. Now, it's so much easier said than done. It is so important how we think. You know, the mind is the center of our thoughts, of our opinions, of the way we reason, of our feelings, our desires, everything. Let's look in Romans chapter 12.
Come on, Lisa.
Okay, it says here in verse 2. It says, Romans 12, verse 2, do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And then you will be able to test and prove what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. It says here, do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world. What is the pattern of this world? It's all about me, right? Selfishness, pride, arrogance. And I think for us as Christians, it's often easy to let go of the worldly things. You know, we condition ourselves and we let go of a lot of the world. But I think what God is, if you look at this, it says, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. It's got to go a lot deeper than just letting go of worldly things. We've got to transform the way we think. Everything about the way we think, about the role we live in, the role we have in this world, the people around us, who we are, everything has to change. To be transformed, there's a dramatic difference. To be renewed, is the old is gone. That's what the Bible calls us to. It says renew your mind, be transformed by that. It's a challenge. I mean, I looked at this and I thought, this is a challenge. I've read this so many times. I've known this passage for as long as I can remember. But we've got to apply it in Romans 8.
Come on, Lisa.
Verse 5. Okay, it says, those who live according to the sinful nature have their minds set on what that nature desires. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their mind set on what the Spirit desires. The mind of sinful man is death, but the mind controlled by the Spirit is life and peace. The sinful mind is hostile to God, It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Again, this passage speaks about set your mind. If you live according to the sinful nature, it's because your mind is set on it. It's the way you think. It's the way that we think that leads to the actions.
Yeah.
They're directly connected. It says if you live in accordance to the Spirit, it's because your mind is set on what the Spirit desires. And so God, and He makes it very clear, a sinful mind is hostile to God, towards Him, because your actions will be sinful. I mean, it can't be any different. And so it says, set your mind, fix your mind, apply your mind, focus your mind. Focus your mind. I'm literally losing my breath. So we have to be deliberate in our thinking, very deliberate, to think according to the Word of God. I mean, thousands and thousands of thoughts go through our minds every day.
Yeah.
It's hard work to make them obedient to Christ. It's hard work.
Yeah.
It's not just going to happen. And we're so eager to control our lives, but not our thinking. And I mean, that's where we miss it. You know, we want to control our lives, but not our thinking. And our minds are often the place where we play around with sin. The way we think is worldly. There's sin involved. And we can control to a certain extent how we act, but in our minds, there's a lot going on. And we can often be so, we can accept it and be okay with it. So, I mean, for me, I don't have to make a lot of effort to think wrong thoughts. I don't know about you. But I need to make a lot of effort to choose right and godly thinking. You know, this can't happen just once a month, once a week. It's daily. I've got to check, what am I thinking about? What is it? Where is this thinking leading me? And so all of us, we've got to think about what we're thinking about. We've got to go to the end of our thoughts. You know what I mean by that? We can have one thought and then just leave it there. We've got to think, why am I having that thought? What's behind that thought? What's the emotion behind it? What's the issue? What's lying deeper than just that thought? And so there's so many scriptures that call us and urge us and command us, take care of your mind. Let's look in 1 Peter chapter 1.
Come on, Peter.
Yeah, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13, it says, and we're going to go through just four verses here, but it says, therefore, prepare your minds for action, be self-controlled, set your hope fully on the grace to be given you when Jesus Christ is real. It says, prepare your mind for action, be self-controlled, set your hope. I mean, it's very clear, it's active. Look in Colossians chapter 3. Verse 2, again, it says, set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. It says, set your minds, fix your mind, apply your mind on things above. Again, it says, be different from the world. Stand out from the world. Don't conform to the pattern of this world. The Message translation of Colossians 3 is, pursue the things over which Christ presides. Don't shuffle along. Isn't that what we do when we're looking down at the world that's around us? We're shuffling along. It says, don't shuffle along, eyes to the ground, absorbed with the things right in front of you. Isn't that how we can live day to day? It says, look up and be alert to what is going on around Christ. There's where the action is. That's where the action is. See things from His perspective. That's where we should be focused. Philippians chapter 4. Okay, verse 8, it says, finally, sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, Whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. I mean, the Bible is clear. Think about such things. It's calling us to. It's commanding us to. I mean, I looked at the scripture and I thought, God, what can I think about that's noble? I mean, it's such a challenge. I don't know about you, but I read the scripture and it's not like I just have a list of things that come to mind. It's literally, you've got to think. Train your mind. Think about these things. And 2 Corinthians 10. Verse 4, it says, the weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. Again, it's very deliberate. It's effort. It's hard work. It's not just going to happen naturally. We've got to be focused on it. Again, I want to read you the Message translation of this. It says, the world is unprincipled. It's dog eat dog out there. The tools of our trade are not for marketing or manipulation, but for demolition, to smash warped philosophies. Like I was just speaking about it, I'm in control, I am entitled. It's to smash those philosophies, to tear down barriers erected against the truth of God, fitting every loose thought, emotion, and impulse into a life shaped by Christ. That's what we've got to do. So we've got to take those thoughts captive and make them obedient to Christ. We've got to be different from the world. And it's got to start in our thinking, the way we think. So I've talked a lot now about the mind. Like I said, in 1 Corinthians 13, it makes it so clear. We've got to put childish thinking behind us, reasoning, and how we speak. So I want to be a little bit more specific about our thinking as women now. And I want to start with a single woman.
Come on.
So I think this applies to all women, but I thought, let me start with a single woman specifically. And some wrong thinking that leads to little girl behavior. Now remember, a little girl is a victim. She feels sorry for herself, and she loves having pity parties.
You just like it.
Amen. Please be patient with me. So, don't worry, we'll get to the married woman just now. But we'll start here. Okay, wrong thinking. I need a significant other to be significant. Is that true? Is that true?
Is it that we think it true, or is just the statement true?
I think that we think it. Is it that we think it true? Is it true?
Sure.
Come on, who's single out here? Is it true we think that? I hear that.
Yeah.
That we can feel or think that we need a significant other to be significant.
Yeah.
And it's not true. No, it's not true at all. But we can think that way. We might not even say it, but we can think it. We can think life only begins until I have a significant other.
Yeah. Yep.
And that's not true. Not only is that not true, but the fact that I can have significant relationships with significant people, and I don't have to be married to do that. Does that make sense? It's like, as a single, I mean, I was there, and I've spoken to a lot of single women, so I don't know if you're all just shy, but let's just be honest tonight. It's we can think that way.
Absolutely.
That life or significant relationships almost only start when we're married. Until we're with that partner, and then it happens. Another thing I think we think is, when I meet and marry my life partner, I will be happy. That happiness is dependent on getting married. Am I speaking to the right crowd? I'm just like, I think you're always scared.
Come on,
okay. And that's not true. in the back of our minds. You know, we're sharp enough to know it's not true, but we dwell on it. We can feel it. We can entertain those thoughts. You know, marriage does not complete us. Believe me, it doesn't. I think, speak to any married woman, it does not complete you. You've got to go into a relationship being complete. I think a lot of us married women, including myself, still work through that. That our husbands are not there to complete us. They compliment us, and we compliment them, but we don't complete each other. God does. Some of the most unhappy, lonely people on this planet are married. Okay. I think that makes it clear. The thinking that being alone means lonely. Is that true? No. As a single, you can enjoy your own company and the company of others, but being alone does not mean you need to be lonely. As a single woman, you are free to make choices for yourself. And sometimes as a single woman, you will have to work harder to make your weekends or holidays special. But that's okay.
Yeah.
Right? Because being alone does not equal lonely.
Yeah.
And so we can't whine about that.
Yeah.
You know, blood is not required for a family kind of relationship with people that are important to you. It doesn't have to be connected by blood. Now, big old singles know and understand they can't wait for life or circumstances to change before they get happy. The only result of waiting for that partner or change, the only thing that changes is that life is passing you by. That's the only thing. Now, I love fairy tales just as much as the next girl, I think. I think all of us have that fairy tale in us. But we can't live in a fairy tale. We can't live in a world that doesn't exist and be unprepared to deal with reality. And so again, wrong thinking leads to wrong living, or immature thinking leads to immature behavior.
Yeah.
I think another thing that I think single women can often think is to believe a bad relationship is better than no relationship. Okay? To think Christian automatically means compatible. And to evaluate men, okay, it's like, is that true? And to evaluate men with a list of expectations they can't possibly meet. And it's so easy to create that list, but not even Superman can live up to them. And so we are all human, and we're sinful, and we have quirks, we're weird. And that's what we need to deal with when we look for a spouse, is that we're all weird, quirky, and odd. And so we need to be realistic. I think something else is just friendships. The friendships amongst the single sisters and brothers, and dating. Now, I absolutely believe that the brothers need to ask the sisters on dates, okay? I have strong feelings on that. You can ask Alicia, you can ask Jock, I brought it up in our staff meetings, and they've got to treat the sister special. But remember, you are still responsible for your own life.
Absolutely.
And for your own needs. And so you can't keep waiting and waiting for the brother to initiate. You can't. If you get bitter and resentful about that, you can't say it's his fault or their fault. You've got to take responsibility for that. And so, again, it goes back to us as individuals, for us. We need to take responsibility. And so, I think a lot of that is how we think about dating. That I think often for me, even as a single, and this is a while back, but I remember it's easy to almost follow the rules of dating. You know, you go and date it, brothers, but it's not thinking godly about dating. There's a big difference. Just doing the right thing or doing what you need to do instead of thinking godly about dating. And so, you know, I remember as a single, I was asked on dates by somebody I really didn't click with or that I thought is quirky, like I said, or a little bit odd, or that I thought, geez, I could do something better with my time tonight. I mean, I'm just being honest. I've been there.
Yeah.
And I had to work through that in my own heart. I had to look at the worldly thinking that I had around dating. And what was my true convictions about dating? That I didn't respect the brothers or that brother. I didn't, you know, I didn't look at them and think, sure, they've still made a decision to pursue the highest standard possible. And I didn't look at them through God's eyes. I was disrespectful. And so I think it's so easy to get caught up in that worldly thinking about the brothers and dating and building friendships. And we can get so focused on their weaknesses and their shortcomings and, like I said, their quirks, instead of, no, they are men of God.
Yeah.
They love God. And they put Him first. And so we can't treat them with contempt. And so if your heart is there, I really want to encourage you to study it out. So amen.
Come on.
Let's talk to the married. Okay. I mean, come on, we all think these things, right? We think these things. We think these things, but we don't say it. Or it's like, you know, I mean, hey, we're all sisters. So, married. Again, I'm sure this will help some of the singles as well. But remember, childish thinking leads to childish expectations. I really want to emphasize that. And that leads to childish living and behavior. A big girl wife doesn't expect her husband to fix her. Nothing new. Again, so much easier to hear than to practice. Because that mindset leads us down some really bad paths. I am responsible for me. I think it's so easy to take our emotions out on our husbands.
Yeah.
You know, when we do that, they are the problem. The only problem. The whole problem. I mean, it's them. And we blame them for everything and anything. You know, Van and I had a conversation last week, and I just really had to laugh. We were just talking. I've been taking some emotional strain the last couple of weeks. There's been a lot going on, a lot of people coming to visit, and alterations to the house, and you name it, blah, blah, blah. And so we were sitting down and talking, just how's it going? And I said to him, well, it's not going well, and blah, 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 blah. We keep on talking. And so he said to me, the interesting thing to him is that nothing about him changes. He doesn't come home later or, you know, treat me any different in his mind. Nothing about him changes except my mood. Because when my mood changes, everything about him changes in my mind. Isn't that true? Because that's how emotions work. And so as my emotional levels rise, my view of Vanna keeps on changing. Because now suddenly he's not good enough in this, he's not good enough in that, he's not doing this right. And so for us as married women, we first need to identify why we are so emotional. And what's going on inside of us? And what's the deeper issue? And what is a realistic expectation of our spouse? Like I said, for me, it can be so easy to blame Werner and to see all his weaknesses. If only he was more like this. If only he was more considerate that I'm pregnant. Or, you know, it's an endless list. And so circumstances doesn't have to be perfect, and a husband's behavior doesn't have to be perfect for a big girl wife to be okay. Big girl wives don't manipulate and control their husbands. They avoid nagging. They don't play emotional games. They use words to communicate, not rolling of the eyes, not the silent treatment, or the cold shoulder, or to withdraw affection, or to be aloof. They don't rely on the guessing game. You know the guessing game? If he loves me, surely he'll know what's wrong with me. And again, none of this is new, but it's so easy to have that attitude, that thinking. You know, I'm sure you've thought this, or I've thought this. If I tell him what I want or need, it takes the joy or the feeling loved or the feeling special out of it. So if he loves me, if he knows me, he will do it spontaneously, out of his own. So just think of it, if he loves me, and I think he'll just need to do this. Does it sound familiar? And so, like I said, I mean, I've definitely been taking some emotional strain. You know, like I said, we did some alterations to the house. It always ends up a lot bigger than what you think. And, you know, Duncan and Lisa was down here, and they were staying in the room that we were alterating. So that was a challenge to me. And 3 days later, Rapula and Kitty came. It was their kids. I mean, nothing life-threatening happening in my life. I just felt like it's a lot. It just keeps on. I felt like, can stuff just get out of the way? And so I'm entertaining, and does everybody have enough towels? Is it dry towels? Is there enough food? Is it, you know, making everybody comfortable? And the kids are sick, so go to them. You know, it's just life. And so I'm making dinner, and we're just about ready to eat. And Vanna innocently asks me, can I help with anything? And I'm thinking, you're still asking? I think, is the glasses going to get to the table by themselves? I mean, my mind is just like, and I mean, he is asking, can he help? And I'm offended by it. Like, can't you think for yourself what needs to be done? I don't even want to ask. And I think we can be so sensitive. You know, I can be so sensitive. And we've got to grow up. He loves me. I mean, that's the bottom line. And so, you know, big girl wives know they need to open their mouths and say what they need and what they want. He can't smell what you think and feel. And he can't read your mind. You know, this July we'll be married for 12 years. And it's just not going to happen. He's never going to know what I want. It's been 12 years. I need to use words. And it's been the biggest thing that I've had to work through in our marriage, definitely in the earlier years, is to open my mouth. It's to say what I think and feel and want. You know, there's been times, I mean, the first couple of years, it was horrible. It was so obvious I was not okay. And I would say, are you fine? And it's like, are you okay? And my answer is, I'm fine. I'm fine. And like I said, it's so obvious I'm not fine. And for me to shut him out and to cut him off and to just get lost in my own little world in my mind. And so, you know, it's so unfair, it's so selfish, it's so immature, it's so childish. You know, he needs to wait. I had the attitude that he needed to wait until I am ready to speak. I mean, it's just, it's so selfish. And so I really had to grow out of that, grow up. And I think we can often have two responses as women to when we don't feel heard. As one is, I think we can give up and slam up or clam up or whatever, and we stop talking, which doesn't make anything better. Or we exaggerate the situation and our emotions. We exaggerate it, and until he's going to hear, I will keep on going at this. And so again, that's also so unfair. It's unfair. Our husbands doesn't hear emotional talk. All they hear when we talk with emotion is what they do wrong and that they're not good enough. That's what they hear. And so we've got to make sure as big girls that we're calm when we speak to our husbands and we're respectful when we speak to our husbands. Right? So, I mean, again, I know none of this is me, but I think this all falls under how easily it is for us to whine and to complain and to feel like a victim and to blame someone else, or whether it's our spouse or our friend. So I'm going to end it there. I hope this has been helpful to think through, to get conviction on, to change our minds, to not think like children and not to act like children, but to be big girls. So, amen. Have a great time.